The August 2026 Who is Hiring thread has 173 comments on a score of 186, and the Who Wants to be Hired thread has an even more striking profile, 295 comments on a 127 score. That ratio on the job seeker side suggests the market dynamic this month, more candidates visible than roles. The thread content reflects that. Senior engineers are listing impressive credentials and explicitly noting they're open to relocation or remote work, which wasn't a common qualifier you saw 2 years ago.
The Hoplite launch, a YCS26 company offering effortless deployment of cloud coding agents, got 74 points and 60 comments. The product is targeting the workflow that's become increasingly common. You have an AI coding agent running some automated task, and you need to provision the cloud infrastructure for it quickly without writing a lot of infrastructure as code by hand. The HN comments are productively skeptical. Questions about pricing, about lock-in, about what happens when the agent's task goes sideways and you need to debug or roll back.
The Andy Pavlo news is the most substantive business story in this cluster. Pavlo is a database systems researcher at Carnegie Mellon. He runs the CMU Database Group, which has produced some of the most influential work in the field over the last decade. He's joining ClickHouse to establish ClickHouse Labs, an internal research organization. This is a meaningful signal about where the database market is heading.
ClickHouse has grown remarkably fast as an OLAP database. It's the go-to for high-volume analytical queries where you need results in milliseconds rather than minutes. The decision to bring in someone of Pavlo's caliber to run a research lab suggests the company is thinking beyond incremental improvements to the current architecture. The HN comments speculate about what research directions Pavlo might pursue, with a lot of interest in whether he'll continue work on self-tuning database systems. The idea that a database should be able to optimize its own configuration based on observed workload patterns.
Pavlo has been remarkably public about his research and opinions. He runs a database of databases catalog, he does YouTube lectures on systems architecture, and he's been a consistent voice arguing that the industry hasn't fully absorbed the implications of NVMe storage and persistent memory for database design. Bringing that perspective inside a production database company is a different kind of collaboration than the typical academic industry partnership.
There's an antitrust lens on the database market that's worth applying here, and it connects to something I think listeners should understand about how antitrust law actually works. Marcus, you want to take this?
Sure, and this matters because you hear monopoly thrown around in tech debates constantly, often incorrectly. The Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 is the foundational U.S. statute, and it has two main sections. Section 1 prohibits agreements between separate entities that restrain trade, think price fixing between competitors. Section 2 is the one people usually mean when they talk about tech monopolies. It prohibits monopolizing or attempting to monopolize a market.
And the key point is that having a large market share doesn't automatically make you a monopolist under the law. Courts look at several things: whether the company actually has monopoly power in a defined market, whether it acquired or maintained that power through exclusionary conduct rather than just being better, and what the relevant market even is. That last part is where a lot of antitrust cases live or die.
Right? Microsoft famously had over 90% of the PC operating system market in the late 90s. What made that actionable wasn't the share itself. It was the conduct. Bundling Internet Explorer, pressuring OEMs not to ship competing browsers, those were the exclusionary acts. In the database world today, even if you thought a particular vendor had dominant share in OLAP analytics, you'd need to show they were engaging in conduct that excluded rivals through means other than just being a better product. The research and competition that ClickHouse is investing in is exactly the kind of thing that makes markets healthier.
And it's worth noting that the OLAP database market is genuinely competitive right now. Snowflake, BigQuery, Redshift, DuckDB, ClickHouse, StarRox. A new entrant or a researcher joining one of these companies doesn't raise antitrust concerns. It's actually the opposite of concerning.
Now, the what if we're wrong question I want to raise today is about the confidence in on-device AI inference. the Swiftlet story, the DeepSeek single GPU story, Cloudflare's smaller, faster, safer framing, there's a broad consensus forming that distributed, edge, and on-device AI is the direction the field is heading. The argument is intuitive. Privacy, latency, cost, all push toward local compute.
I think that consensus deserves some stress testing. The strongest version of the counterargument goes like this. The capability advantage of frontier models running in data centers might compound faster than the efficiency gains in on-device inference. The gap between what a quantized ADB model can do on a phone and what a full-precision trillion-parameter model can do in a cluster might widen rather than narrow. If that's true, the good enough framing for on-device inference only holds for a subset of tasks, and that subset might be smaller than we're assuming.
There's also a second assumption buried in the on-device story, that the hardware keeps pace. The Swiftlet claims rely on Apple Silicon's unified memory architecture, which is genuinely unusual. A lot of consumer hardware doesn't have that profile. If Apple changes its memory architecture in a future chip generation, or if the leading models shift in a direction that doesn't compress as well, the whole efficiency story might need to be rewritten.
And a third assumption, that users actually want on-device AI. The privacy argument is compelling to technically sophisticated users. For a lot of people, the cloud-based model where they get access to the best available system without worrying about local resources is exactly what they want. The privacy preference might be more minority than the current discourse implies.
So what do we watch for? If the on-device thesis is right, you'd expect to see task benchmarks where the quantized local models are closing the gap on cloud models for a widening range of task types. If we're wrong, you'd see the benchmark gap persist or widen even as local efficiency improves, meaning we got the efficiency curve right but misread the capability curve. That divergence would show up in developer adoption patterns, not just benchmarks.
Watch also for whether Apple's next chip release maintains the unified memory advantage, and whether Google and Qualcomm respond with competitive architectures. If competitors close the hardware gap, the Apple Silicon story becomes a general story. If they don't, on-device AI might remain an Apple-centric phenomenon longer than people expect.